Book of Revelation, chapter 17. We have seen the seven bowls poured out. The final judgments. We're going to take a look at 17 here. And we're going to look at this great whore. And that's what we see. Chapter 17 begins this way. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven bowls. You remember those seven angels that came out of the temple there up in heaven? It had the seven bowls. He talked with me, saying unto me, come here. I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now, we're going to be given some of the explanation a little later on in the chapter. Because I think if we wouldn't have been given that, Lord, I mean, I've still heard so many strange things come out of this chapter. Even though the chapter itself helps you to understand itself, you know what I mean. This seems to be the time of end time studies. I read in the paper just this past week some man who said that John's all these experiences were simple out-of-the-body experiences that any New Ager would experience. And Christians are so far behind the times. And I read that and I thought, what a bunch of garbage. Yet they put it in the paper. And I guess we should be thankful that it's free speech. And I hoped nobody read it. You know, it takes a lot of time. And this is not a complaint. I would do this, doesn't matter where I lived, whatever else was going on in my life. It takes a lot of time to go through your Bible and to try to put it together so that it is so simple that even first graders could understand it. And then these guys come along who are experts and throw out a bunch of trash. But because they have letters behind their name, everybody says, well, it's got to be right. Well, it's wrong. The guy was absolutely wrong, yet I'm sure people listen and I think, oh, Lord, would you destroy all the papers of the North Country Chapel people before they read them when they get home? If you have to burn their houses down, we'll understand, Lord. Just do something to keep them from reading this. Because it's taken so long to try to communicate to them what is at least semi-solid. If they read this, it might throw some of them into some loops. Don't do that to them, God. Were your papers wrecked up last week? No, they were fine, weren't they? Because He wants you to be people of the Word as well. Now, I know that some of you don't come to church here. I know that. That's right. You're still saved. But wherever you do go to church, would you at least sit quietly and listen to what you're being taught? Would you please open your Bible, even if it's not acceptable there, and at least read along and see if that's what it says? We need you to do that. It's for your own good, for your own growth. I won't get a raise if you do. So don't think I'm wanting you to do it for me. I'm wanting you to do it for you. Because the days are evil. You need to know what you believe. And what you believe needs to come from God's Word. Not from anything else out there. God's Word. Oh, you can use Bible helps and come to that. That's all right. Those, go for it. Just stay with the Word of God, would you? And when I offend you and you run, would you run to a place that at least is solid? Promise me. Or we'll come and get you. We'll send out Guido the Baptist. He'll break your knees. He's a tough guy and Nah, I'm just teasing. You see, because let's talk about the great whore, the word also harlot. I'm going to tell you what this is right away, although you're going to see it again. The great whore is really the part of the church that will remain after the true church has been raptured. It's those that remain here on the earth. I believe, according to Scripture, that the true church, God will violently seize them, snatch them away, is what the word says. He will catch away. Those are his. The word in the Latin, rapturus, rapture. The church is literally going to disappear off the face of the earth. I don't know if their clothes will be folded. I don't know what will happen to their jewelry. Those I leave to all the people that are doing the movies. But I know that the Bible says, and you can read this, just read through 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and through 1 Corinthians. You'll find in 1 Corinthians 15, but I'd like you to read the whole thing to get there first. And you'll see that the dead in Christ shall rise first when the Lord appears in the air only to his church, to get his church. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, snatched away, raptured, violently seized, to meet with him in the air and to be with him forever. But what happens to all that don't get raptured, who go to church? There are many who go to church who the next day, I'm telling you right now that the day after the rapture or the Sunday following the rapture, I figure churches are going to be full. They won't be locked down and chained up. I think they're going to be full. But the true Christians will be gone. And you're going to see a fake, false religion that God calls a harlot. Instead of the bride of Christ, you're looking now at a whore, a harlot, as the King James says, a whore. According to verse 15, and we'll get there, but I'm just going to let you know. According to verse 15, in chapter 17, verse 1, there came one of the seven angels, had seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. According to verse 15, if you're wondering what the waters are, verse 15 will tell us. The waters represent great masses of peoples among the nations of the world. The great whore will cover and control the world religiously. The religious aspect of the world will be overseen by this great whore, who is not the bride of Christ, but a prostitute, a harlot instead, a fake, false, spiritual system. You are watching it being built, and you've been watching it being put together in front of your very eyes over the last years. And the church more and more and more shuts God's word and accepts anything else. Now, these are churches that you would think are Christian churches. But I know, you don't need to tell me, I've been to them. You can go to many churches and you will not even need to take your Bible with you. And you would think if there's any place you'd need to take your Bible, it would be to church. But you go to many and you won't even need your Bible. No, that doesn't sound right. Because see, I got to be honest with you, I don't have the whole thing memorized. Are you shocked? I'm close. I got John 11:35 memorized. Jesus wept. Now, I'm close. So, do you have the whole thing memorized? Let's see hands. Okay. And if you don't, and you're going to listen to somebody teach from it, how are you going to know where they're teaching from? And if they're teaching from it, how are you going to know? Is it really saying that? I mean, do we just take their word for it? She's a nice girl. He's a nice guy. They would never lie, would they? It wouldn't make sense to have your Bible right there. Open it up and follow along. And see what it says for yourself. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they listened to what Paul had to say, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if it was so. Not trying to find him wrong, just saying, well, that's cool what he said. Let's go find that. I want to see that. I want to go over that myself. I think he's right. I remember them leaving Egypt like that. Let's go back to Exodus and let's read through that together. So according to verse 15, the waters, that this horse sits upon, this religious system, this fake religion. The water represents great masses of people and nations. The great whore will sit upon them, and she will cover the world. Now, verse 2 says, he says, I'll show you unto the judgment of the great whore that sits upon the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The kings of the earth committed fornication. Now, we're talking about sexual sin, but we're talking about spiritual sin. This is spiritual fornication. An unholy alliance is formed between the church and the state during the Great Tribulation period. You'll see. Because they kind of, the church wants to run things. The Antichrist wants to get it all together. He hates the church, but he's going to use it, the fake church that's still here, which will not be very wise, because the wisdom comes from God. And so that fake church will really think, we've got it. We're running things again, just like we used to in the old days. And so you've got this unholy alliance between the church and the state, which you see slowly, slowly coming around, don't you? There's this alliance coming together between the powers that be in the church and the powers that be in the world. And he says, you know, I want to show you the judgment of the great whore. The kings of the earth committed fornications with her. The judgment. We learn that the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will destroy that harlot, that whore, which is the false church. Because, see, the beast wants to be worshipped. And he wants the Antichrist, all worship to be his. He doesn't want to share it with any. No competition will be allowed. But he's going to use the church in about the first 3 to 3.5 years of this tribulation period to get to where he needs to get to. And when he is finished, he will destroy the church. Remember who we're talking about. The true believers have been raptured. But you've got this false spiritual system going on. Read Revelation chapter 3, about the church called Laodicea. They're wretched, poor, blind, and naked. Remember, read through that and see. And you'll see the apostate church of the end times. And you see, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. You'll notice that this spiritual system will cover the globe. And so somehow, between now and then, because I believe this is future, somehow, what's the word I want? I know, unity. Somehow we've got to get unity, don't we? If the church is going to be worldwide and be the spiritual system, then we've got to come together in some kind of unity. Can't we all just get along? Do you see it happening? Do you know more and more the Pope speaks for the entire church? When he writes his letters and visits countries, he speaks for the entire church. I don't know whether he's eating something that's hurting him or whether someone has given him that permission, but you notice he is more and more speaking out, saying that Rome speaks for all. And he doesn't speak for me. Each time he speaks against the Word of God, which does happen quite often. So you'll never have this system together as long as there are people who are truly born again. You can't. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus saith unto him, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There's just no other way. Now, if you start to believe that and act upon it, you're going to stand out in a crowd. And sooner or later, the crowd's going to be against you. When that old man Polycarp, who was a disciple of Ignatius, who was a disciple of John the Apostle, long time ago when they were going to put Polycarp to death, when they wanted to burn him at the stake, they said, old man, you reject Jesus and you can go home and die in your bed, which is where you belong. You're just an old man. He was up near 90. And they said, just reject Jesus and go home where you belong. All these years, Jesus has stayed with me. He says, now I can't reject my Lord. And one of the priests stood up and said, oh man, don't you know that the whole world stands against you? You're all alone. And he spoke out, tied to that stake, and said, then let it be known that I stand against the whole world. You know, those kinds of days are coming back. I don't know where you stand, but those kinds of days are coming. Do we really want to serve the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind, all our strength? It's time. Verse 3 says this. So he carried me away in the spirit. Okay, now, charismatics use this verse to mean that that means something a little different than what it means. He was literally carried. He didn't get carried away and out of control. He got carried away. The language is clear, so be careful on that. And believe me, charismatics will be in heaven too. They'll just have more room than you. That's fine. I saw a woman, he says, out there in the wilderness. She was sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast, not her. Now, you've seen this beast before, haven't you? The beast represents, we've already seen this beast before with the 7 heads and 10 horns. That represents the revived Roman Empire. You recall that? The one that Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and you know, and all the king's horses, all throughout the centuries, they've tried to put this Roman Empire back together, and they figured it couldn't be done. It's going to be done. We met the beast represent the Antichrist, of course, overseeing a revived Roman Empire. There's that beast that you've seen. Now, the woman is identified for us in verse 18, in case you're wondering who the woman was, because that's a big issue. Some people say it's Mary. Some people say, again, it's Israel. And so you have a lot of debate going on. Well, the woman is identified. The woman which you saw, verse 18 says, is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Look at verse 18. The woman which you saw is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So we know who the woman is now. The woman is a city. And a system, a religious system. And of course, people want to know, inquiring minds like ours, what city? The woman which you saw is a great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. All right, the kings have committed fornication with this woman. We've learned already it is a spiritual system. And so not only is it a spiritual system, but it is located in a specific place. In a city that reigns over the kings of the earth. What city reigns spiritually over all the earth? Even today, what city has reigned and continues to reign in the minds of most people? Is it Mecca? Is it New York? Spiritual oversight? Is it Jerusalem? Got any clues? The religious capital of the world, considered by many, is Rome. And I think that's what's being talked about here. The church in Rome, even today, is attempting to bring all religions together under its wing, if you've been following the latest over the last few years, so that the Pope will be the spokesman for the entire religious world. And they continue to do it. So the Pope invites the Dalai Lama and the different monks and gurus from India and all these different to get together to pray with him, to discuss issues. You're seeing people pray together you would have never thought you could get in the same room without some kind of sparks or fire. And you couldn't have 20 years ago. And you certainly couldn't have 1,000 years ago. They'd have been put to death on the spot. Notice, everybody, rather than being the true bride of Christ, this spiritual system is called a harlot, a whore, unfaithful, spiritual adultery. I think that the city is further identified in verse 9. I'm not skipping around, but I just want you to see what we're dealing with there. Verse 9 says, "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." So now we know that this city is a woman, and this spiritual system, and this, it's a specific place that it's centered in, and it sits on seven hills. Jerusalem does not sit on seven hills, as some people have taught. You can find seven hills over there, but not it doesn't sit on seven hills. Rome, I believe, is the city being spoken of here. It has been known as the city on seven hills throughout history by pagans and Christians alike. So I have a quote here from Homer. He's not a baseball player. No, this is the guy with only one name, Homer. He lived a long time ago, and he wrote this about Rome. "The gods who look with favor on the seven hills." Speaking of the city called Rome. Ovid, he writes this a long time ago as well. "But Rome looks around the whole globe from her seven mountains, the seat of empire and the abode of the gods." You see, throughout history, pagans as well as Christians recognize the city of Rome to be the city on seven mountains or seven hills. Augustine, some say Augustine. This is what he wrote about Rome. He's a Christian, well, in theory. "Babylon is former Rome, and Rome is a latter Babylon." I believe we're talking about Rome. The religious system operating out of Rome will dominate. Notice, we see that the angel carried me away to the wilderness, verse 3. "I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast." Notice the woman is riding that beast. So in other words, in our language, this religious system out of Rome is going to dominate the Roman Empire at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. The religion will sort of dominate over this empire, riding this beast. Why will the Antichrist allow it? Because he's going to use this false church, this prostitute, this harlot, he's going to use it to his advantage until he's in position, ready to be worshipped, and he's going to destroy it. And you'll see the destruction coming. Full of names of blasphemy. The last part of verse 3 says, "Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Remember? Okay. That shows us how far religion has departed from the Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think you all need to, don't take my word for it, take a serious look at the church today. Take a serious look at what they're doing, how they're doing it, what now seems to be acceptable, what's going on within the so-called Christian church all across the board. No, you're going to notice that there's not much difference anymore between Christians and non-Christians. You can't tell the players anymore without a scorecard. They're doing the same kinds of things. They're in the same kinds of troubles. They're doing the same sorts of courtroom procedures. In other words, church is in trouble. Verses 4 and 5 say this. The woman was arrayed in purple, or dressed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. All right, now we were told that what colors she's wearing. Scarlet, we read. Purple. Purple was the predominant color of the Roman imperialism. So if you take a look at your history, every senator and consul wore a purple stripe as a badge of their position. That purple was a color for the Roman Empire. The emperor's robes, when he was in his full regalia, were solid purple. So you see, this woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. Scarlet is the color that the Roman church has adopted. So you'll see many of the cardinals dressed in scarlet. You'll see many of the pope's robes, and some of the materials that they use are scarlet. So you've got your purple and you've got your scarlet, representing the false religion and the city where it comes from. She's decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. That shows an outward beauty and an outward display of its wealth. And all you need to do is just take a look over there, and you'll see the pomp and circumstance and the robes and the traditions and the candles and the incense and the gold. It's a rich, false religion that's going to be in these last days. Upon her forehead, her name... And upon her forehead was a name written, verse 5. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Notice that this woman doesn't wear a crown. The church, they are given crowns. Do you notice that this woman doesn't wear a crown? But she does have a name on her forehead. Mystery Babylon. Listen closely now, because this may make sense to you. I hope it does. Mystery Babylon. The church that remains after the rapture of all true believers, after they're raptured and gone, the church that remains, well, will be called Mystery Babylon. Why? Because it's something, mystery will be something that we learn that's revealed to us. Remember, the church was a mystery. You didn't see in the Old Testament, and Paul says, I show you a mystery. And so he's not showing you something that's a secret you're not supposed to know, but something is being revealed to you. Mystery Babylon. What do you know about Babylon? Babylon is the foundation of all false religions. Take a look back to the Tower of Babel. Just take a look back to the plains of Shinar there. That's the foundation, the birthing place of false religions. So you see, we've got this mystery Babylon the Great, mother of all harlots and abominations of the earth. Mother of all harlots. Now, it's plural. Sex and false religions go together. Have you noticed that? Sex and false religions seem to go hand in hand. You hear the news, and you hear some guy or some girl who are they've started their own little cult or their own little whatever it is, and notice what's going on behind the scenes. They're having sex with anything, animate, inanimate, it doesn't matter. Strange things are going on. You'll see them having five or six or seven wives, or five or six or seven or eight husbands, and you'll see a big mess going on there behind the scenes. Of course, God always gives them permission, they say. I remember a group they said, you know, organized churches are of the devil. And right away you go, oh boy, oh Lord, we've got one. And it was a guy who and people still do it today. They receive. He was received from the Lord. Now, can we receive things from the Lord? Sure, all the time. Of course we can. And he would receive. And so about four or five women would come to his house. And they would receive. You didn't need your Bible anymore. Close it. Set it under your chair. Just receive. All of them pretty soon got good at receiving. Each week they'd get together. Each one of them receive a different message. And they'd pass it out and share it. We knew some of the women that were going there, and we were telling them, it just doesn't sound solid to us. Oh, if you knew the guy, you'd love him. Oh, right. Yeah, we've heard that 1,000 times. He's probably a pervert. Well, you're judgmental, and well, that's true. Pray for me. Because I'm thinking that, and I never met the guy. Sure enough, he started receiving that you need to divorce your husband and marry me. You know, just receiving directly from God, of course. And if God tells her, what does she do? Sure, just what he said. Divorce her husband and run off with this guy. He died of AIDS. So he got another message from the Lord and ran off with another guy. You see what happens when you close your Bible, stand on it or sit on it, and just start receiving. Certainly God can speak to you, but God would never, not ever, go against his word. And God, Jesus, I'm telling you right now, this is right from Jesus himself. Jesus would say, read your Bible. Haven't you read in the scriptures? He gave us the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the poor man. Then Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. Rich man went to a place of torment. And when he said, send someone back to talk to my brothers, they have the scriptures. They have Moses and the prophets, the law and the prophets. Let them listen to the scriptures. If they won't listen to the scriptures, they won't listen even if someone rose from the dead. And we still have people dropping their Bibles, shoving them away, and receiving. What a mess. Mother of all harlots. Sex and false religions go together. You will notice that you always find them together. It's a trick, everybody. Watch out. When you get involved with a lot of the ists and a lot of the isms, you're going to see some real troubles behind those. Notice that the word harlots itself is plural. And look around you at the systems in place today. Just look around at the systems that are in place today. Look at all that's coming into the church. Look at all that's being accepted in the church. We see churches for gays and lesbians. I think the Bible is specifically very clear on the issue of sin. Whatever the sin might be. We don't call it a disease. We don't call it a lifestyle. We got to call a spade. It's a sin. Yet now you look and there are accepted non-profit groups that are churches for gay and lesbians. Directly against the word of God. But since they're churches, they're recognized. And if you say something against them, you are not very nice. You're not politically correct. And what's the word of the hour, everyone? Intolerant. The only thing that you're allowed to be intolerant of is Christianity. You can be intolerant of that, but you have to tolerate everything else. I think God is intolerant. I think God himself said, that's a sin, and I won't tolerate that. You're intolerant. Yes, I am. But I'm patient. Turn, and I'll give you opportunities, God says. Well, we see churches that way. We see churches ordaining all sorts of characters. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to have reverend before your name anymore when you'd look around and see who reverend is and what, I mean, who's out there. How did they get in? You know, you think, wait a minute, I certainly don't deserve to be in the ministry because I am a sinner. And if there should be anyone in the world who shouldn't be a pastor, probably should be me because I am not worthy. But I'm telling you right now, some people have gotten in and you could tell they didn't come in through the door. But there they are. Reverend. The Reverend Sun Myung Moon. Reverend. He says he's the Messiah. He says he's Jesus Christ, that he's the Messiah. He preaches a false gospel. Jesus says, when someone says the Messiah is over there at Moon's house, don't go see. I'm paraphrasing. Don't go see. Because as the lightning flashes across the sky, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. If someone says he's out in the desert, don't go look. He's not there. Because the angel said, this Jesus Christ that you saw ascend into heaven, he will come back again the same way. He's not going to show up at Sun Young Moon's house, come out of the bedroom and go, hey, I'm the Messiah. No, no, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We see Far Eastern religious practices being mingled in with traditional denominations anymore, even. Hoping to lure more people into the system. These many churches are trying these techniques out to get people in. Maybe this will draw them in. Some of the denominations are telling us, we feel like we're dying. And so we've got to upgrade our system. We've got to change our ways. Well, I would say that's true. Go back to the Bible. Change your ways. But you see, they're trying to lure people in with music and gimmicks and tricks and whatever they can do. And so you're starting to see, listen, psychology did not come out of the Bible. Whoa. You talk about intolerant. And I believe that what you need, God has given to you. And I believe we're controlling an entire nation with drugs. And I'm not real convinced that it's going to turn out to have long-term great effects on us. Not that we don't need some of them. I'm sure some of them are legitimate. And I think that's why God allowed them. But do you know that we're seeing New Age, Far Eastern religious practices, and they've entered into the church to where soon you can't tell the difference anymore. We see psychology being passed out as being over and above God's word. I hear it more and more. Okay, we need a counselor. All right, let's just see what God's word says. No, we need a real counselor. We need some serious counsel. You're telling me that the word of God can't do it. No, because we got real troubles. You certainly do. You do. I'm not trying to take away the living of those who make a living in counseling. What I'm trying to do is get you to read your Bible and start to believe what it says. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit with the gifts, walking in the power of the Spirit of God, that He might use you, that you can be the salt and the light, that others can see Jesus. That's what the world needs right now, is Jesus Christ. We see a mentality of a do your own thing right now mentality. It's really just, maybe it's always been, but it is so out in the open now in the church. Do your own thing. In the church today, with no regard to God's plans or God's word or His will. Just do what you want. My wife and I don't get along anymore. I'm thinking about divorcing. Well, if it'll make you happy, God wants you to be at peace, so divorce that jerk. Wait a minute. What does God's word say about that? Well, look, I've done all I can do. Well, yeah, but wait a minute. Let's go and look and see. If God says, this is what I want from you, then God Himself says, I'll give you the strength. I'll give you I'll take care of. I'll give you everything you need to do what I've called you to do. I can't quit. That's it. I have had enough. Just do your own thing. Everything has become acceptable. What's going on? We are moving toward the time for that great falling away, the apostasy. Remember, true Christians, I believe, will be raptured, taken out of and away from. I think churches will be full the following Sunday. And I think that you and I want to be sure that we belong to Him. You say, you're trying to scare us. No, I'm just telling you what I believe the Word of God says. But if you don't believe that, go read it. Check it out. Go see and see what it says. And then ask God for the strength for you to live according to what you see that it says. Recently, at an inaugural prayer luncheon, about 2.5-3 months ago, it was sponsored by the Washington Press Foundation, one of the largest inaugural religious gatherings to this date, by the way, full of clergy and lawmakers. Clergy, what an ugly word. Sounds like something you'd use on your skin. Clergy. They were honoring Martin Luther King, Billy Graham, and Sun Young Moon. It was an evangelical group of clergymen and some lawmakers there in the D.C. area. Mr. Moon received an award for his work in support of family values. He does nice things. Luncheon committee member Doug Weed, well, there. He introduced seven of the top 10 television evangelists in America today. Seven of them were there, and he introduced them. Among them were Paul Crouch and Kenneth Copeland. And I'm sorry, but if you'll listen to their doctrine, I don't think you'll see it's not what your Bible says. Take a look. Don't take my word for it. The Reverend Jerry Falwell, Reverend, he brought greetings from the Reverend Jesse Jackson, because Jesse couldn't be there. The Reverend Robert Schuller, pastor of the Crystal Cathedral, marveled, he said here, at the myriad of different religious groups praying in the same room. And he complimented each for its own spiritual pilgrimage. He said this, "The only way I can explain this, the difference in the whole group, is," he says, "in my theology, the only way I can figure it is it's the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ has really diversified his investment portfolio." In other words, when you've got the Islams, and you've got the Buddhists, and you've got the Hindus, and you've got the Christians, and you've got the all together, just Jesus is diversifying his investment portfolio. I don't think I can say this man's name, but I'll give it a shot. Imam Hassan Qazwini. Go with the second, because that's closer. I think he's Irish, obviously. He's the director of the Islamic Center of America. He was there at the prayer meeting. He said that all praise is due to Allah. He urged prayers for children in Palestine, West Bank, and Iraq. All these people gather together, and they're praying together in groups. You've got Buddhists, you've got Muslims, you've got Christians, you've got all sorts of different types of Christians. You've got a mess going on here. They're not praying to the same God. Yet, it's unity. You see, that's what this whore, this harlot, is all about. "I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints," verse 6, "and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great wonder." She's drunk with the blood of the saints. Plain and simple, that's what persecution was all about. To destroy the church. To destroy those who worship the true and the living God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Persecution is still taking place. People are dying for their faith around the world, even today. And the church, by the way, has been persecuted since its beginning. And I think you know that. Now keep in mind, I want you to keep something in mind as we move on. And I'll go pretty quickly now. It's not just the church at Rome that I think we're talking about. Because people say, do you think it's the Catholic Church of Rome that is this harlot? Yes and no. Yes, I think that that's where it's run from. Yes, I think that may be the leadership. But the truth is, it's going to be people from Buddhism, Hinduism. You're going to see most of the ists and most of the isms. I think you're going to see people that call themselves Christians from the Protestant churches who didn't get raptured, who are all there together in unity. I don't think you can pinpoint it to one place and say only them. I think it's going to be worldwide. And I think that's exactly what Scripture is trying to tell us right here. And he says, "I wondered with a great wonder." That just means in our language, it boggled his mind. You know, it just boggles your mind. He said, I couldn't even comprehend how this could be. And the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit." Oh boy. "And go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." I believe there, don't worry, we haven't changed who the beast is. I still believe you're looking at the revived Roman Empire. You see, the revived Roman Empire was, never got defeated though, is not right now. and shall descend out of the bottomless pit, the Roman Empire itself. It's not dead at this time. It's just fallen apart. It's going to be put back together. Going to go into perdition. Now that means to us, to you and I, is it will literally, finally, this beast, this union is going to be completely destroyed. The complete destruction of that will be coming, is what the angels say. And here is the mind which has wisdom. And we've already talked about that. Seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is. The other is not yet come. When he comes, he must continue his short pace. Now, verse 10, some people teach that that would be the Caesars. The Antichrist being the final Caesar, ruler over the empire. Some people teach that it would be the different types of the way Rome has tried to oversee the earth. So you can pick whichever one you like. If it's the Caesars, Julius Caesar was assassinated. Tiberius was poisoned. Caligula was assassinated. Claudius was poisoned. Nero committed suicide. Domitian was still living while John wrote this. And of course, finally, the Antichrist will be the final one. I'll read it to you again. Seven kings. Five are fallen. One is, and the other is not yet come. When he comes, he must continue a short time or a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even as he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. He's telling you now what's going to be taking place in the Roman Empire. So if you have trouble understanding these, you can go back and read through Daniel, starting around chapter 7. Chapter 2 will help you, the dream also, but start in chapter 7, go through 12. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and you'll see this explained a couple of different ways. So it'll hopefully help to make sense in case you get lost in the shuffle. And these guys, he says, the ten horns which you saw, verse 12, are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. In other words, it's yet future to John. I still think it's yet future to us, but coming soon. Verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. This Antichrist that we've talked about, he will rule over. He will be the head over it all, and he will have the power and wield the power. These shall make war with the Lamb. In other words, when Jesus comes back, they're going to turn to shoot at him too. And the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, by the way, shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen and faithful. Chosen and faithful. Now, that should be you and I, chosen and faithful. Jesus said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Obey me. If you love me, Jesus tells them there from the upper room, as you do the upper room in chapters 12 and 13 and go on to the Gospel of John, you'll see Jesus talking to them in the upper room. And as they leave and go down through the Kidron Valley across to the garden there, Garden of Gethsemane, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. And then he says, if you love me, obey me. Follow. Trust me. Be faithful. By his strength. And he saith unto me in verse 15, the waters which you saw where the whore was sitting are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. I've already told you that. We read that earlier. And the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Notice that the Antichrist and the powers that be, his powers, will probably around 3.5 year mark of the tribulation period completely destroy the religious system, crush it, so that he will enter into the Holy of Holies there in Jerusalem. The temple will be rebuilt. He'll enter in, claiming to be God, accepting worship as God. Only wanting himself to be worshipped. This is what Satan has always wanted. For God hath put in their heart, verse 17, to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. What I like about that is it shows you and I, God is in control. Even though I know you look around and you think he doesn't, it's falling apart. God, do something. God is showing you, I'm in control. You've got to trust me. And that is so easy to say. Just trust God. And Christians, we throw that all the time. How you doing? Oh, terrible. Trust God. See ya. Be warned and filled, dude. And just trust God. How's your life going? It's a mess. Well, trust God. How's it going? My foot hurts. Oh, you don't trust God. If you trust God, your foot... But really, to trust in God takes a supernatural power. First, you must be born again. You must be born from above. That the Spirit of God would take up residence in your life and you would have the power to simply trust Him and walk in faith. And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So what you're seeing, see, by eliminating the apostate church, the way is cleared for complete worship of the Antichrist himself. And what God is showing you the future before it happens. There it is. When the church is raptured, the true church, you're going to see a false religion remain. Just as you saw the Pharisees, they look great on the outside, but the inside is full of dead men's bones. They look good. The outside of the cup is nice and clean, but the inside is a mess. And so we've been warned against all that, that hypocrisy. That's what the church of the tribulation period will be like. It'll be real accepting. It'll look nice. Everybody will just hold hands together you'll see these foreign religions of all kind and the Christians and the Muslims. You'll see them all come together, but they won't really be Christians. They'll just look like it on the outside. This is a lesson for us. There's a lot that we can learn. We need to trust the Lord. We need to serve Him. We can't do it without His help. He has given you His Holy Spirit, every one of you that belongs to Him, His Holy Spirit. There is no pit so deep that He is not deeper still. He did not bring you this far to leave you. He did not lift you up to let you down. He would never say to you, walk with me, unless He planned fully to give you the strength to be able to do it. He would never say to you and I, trust and obey, unless He was going to be right there. And didn't He say, I'll be right there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as I go to my Father, I would never leave you comfortless. I'll send another comforter. You've got God's Holy Spirit, His earnest. Jesus Christ, those of you that are believers, Jesus is the advocate with the Father for you. Don't panic. Don't jump, even though it seems hot where you are. Call on the Lord. Cry out. Open your heart. Listen to Him. Pray hard. And get walking by God's strength. Start walking. Because God will steer you if you start to move. He will steer you. And He, listen, write this down somewhere if you can't remember it. He loves you. He loves you. This isn't a game to where you're the expendable piece. Move her over here. We'll knock her off. But that's right. I've protected my king and queen. No, no. He loves you. This is not a game He's playing with you. He will bless you and wants to bless you. He will hold you up strong. He will keep His promises. He will keep His word. Keep your Bibles with you. Open them up. See what He's got to say. If it's not going right, bow down, cry out to Him, say, Lord, it's falling apart. And let Him work in your heart. Let Him show you. Let Him deal with you. He's got great ideas. Don't limit Him with yours. Let's bow our heads together.